Hello, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Evan Brand. Thanks for joining me. I'm board certified in holistic nutrition. I have some other credentials that allow me to help people around the world using functional medicine lab testing to investigate the root cause of so many different issues, from mood problems, insomnia, children that are on the spectrum, children that have sensory issues. Probably half my practice these days is comprised of children. And that's because, unfortunately, a lot of pediatricians, some of those being my friends, they just don't go deep into this stuff. They don't go deep into PANS, PANDAS, Lyme, Bartonella, mold. And unfortunately, based on me testing thousands and thousands of people, including so many children, the most toxic people, the ones struggling the most on this planet, appear to be the children age 10 or less. Massive amounts of chemicals, heavy metals, pesticides, mycotoxins, infections, you name it. When you see kids out in public being crazy, they don't want to be crazy. They're just crazy because of what's happening in terms of the nutritional deficiencies, the brain chemistry imbalances. And so I love helping these kids, helping the parents too. I mean, this is saving marriages. This is saving families from falling apart because it's extremely heavy. It's a heavy burden to have a child on the spectrum or to have a child with sensory processing issues or gut issues, skin problems, you name it. You bounce around to all the doctors. It's a huge stress load on the parents and the family as a whole. And actually, they've done studies on this. So children with chronic illnesses and chronic health problems has been rated more stressful than caring for an aging parent that has dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. So any kind of neurodegenerative disease we see in the elderly, that's easier and less stressful than taking care of a child that has these chronic issues. So if you need help, evanbrand.com has all the details. We're about to get into a podcast with my friend here, Dr. Justin Marcagiani. He's a DC, a chiropractor who's gone into functional medicine like myself. We love the ability to help so many people around the world. We've been doing it for a decade plus. And we're diving into the topic of allergies, histamine intolerance, mast cell activation. What the heck's going on? Why is it that you need Claritin? Why is it that you need Zyrtec? Do you really need those? Can you go without those? What's the root cause underneath all of that? We're about to dive in. And in terms of support, number one recommendation, we got to fix your gut. But if you need a quick fix, some support that is natural and effective, we will have the link to my histamine and mast cell support in the show notes, or you can check it out. AuraRoots.com, A-U-R-A, Roots.com. You'll be able to view that and order that supplement. It is a game changer. We've used it in so many people that said they've been able to stop allergy medication, reduce food sensitivities, reduce bloating, reduce all sorts of histamine symptoms. Check it out. You'll love it. Let's get into the show. And last but not least, we've discounted Better Belly, my functional medicine training course. So if you want to dive in, look at labs, figure out what the heck's wrong with you, learn how to interpret your labs and make a protocol to fix yourself, betterbellycourse.com. Go there. I've got so many videos, over 50 videos. You can learn this stuff. If you're not a one-on-one hand-holding person, you don't want that one-on-one consult, you want to just dive into the data and the literature and fix yourself, the course is for you. All right, here we go.
And we are live. It's Dr. J in the house with Evan Brand. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about functional medicine insights and solutions to allergies and mold. This is that time of year. People are complaining about spring and pollens and all these things in the environment, aggravating their immune system and their allergy symptoms. So we're going to dive into how we approach it from a functional medicine perspective. Evan, how are we doing, man? What's cooking?
Hey, I'm doing great. Well, when you go out in society, you can see the allergies on people, right? You can see the puffiness. You could see the issues with the eyes looking watery or red. And people will tell you very, very quickly. If you just bring up the topic of allergies with the person at the checkout counter at the grocery store, immediately they're like, yep, I have to take Claritin. I have to take Zyrtec. I have to take some level of like an H1, H2 blocker. This is a really, really common thing, or an antihistamine medication. And most people don't even consider that there could be a root cause. They don't even consider that there could be, number one, a natural solution to those antihistamine drugs. And they also don't even consider that there could be a life without those. Like, people think allergy, antihistamine. And that's as far as most people go with their allergies. And it's kind of sad because you're not suffering from a deficiency of antihistamine medication. that's helping you, but what's going on internally that could be driving the need for that? I don't think our ancestors, 200 to 1,000 to 50,000, however far you want to go back in human ancestry, I don't think they were messing around with antihistamine drugs, and they lived outside in these allergens.
100%. Yeah, no, totally get it. Now, when you look at histamine, right? Histamine is a neurotransmitter, right? It comes from the amino acid histidine. So it's an amino acid. Histamine is a vasodilator. It actually stimulates hydrochloric acid production. It helps with the neurotransmitters. It regulates sleep, stimulates hormones. It acts as a vasodilator, right? Think about it. When you have allergies, a lot of times you have blood flow. You have maybe this lymphatic pooling under the eyes. So you have this blood flow. You have this vasodilation response. So you have this histamine coming in, and then you have histamine leaving, right? And the problem when people have allergies is their immune system is either overproducing it due to the environment, but usually due to inflammation in their diet. And then also the gut is a major vector of histamine. And then if you add environmental molds, and then we can kind of put molds with mycotoxins, because not all molds produce mycotoxins. Mycotoxins are the flatulence of mold. And those mycotoxins are a greater stress than just, let's say, your run-of-the-mill cladosporium, microsporium type of soil-based molds from the environment, from like decaying leaves or just debris outside making their way in. So we have to kind of differentiate or kind of draw that line between the two.
Yeah, let's talk about the mechanism of histamine metabolism. This was interesting to me because this popped up during pregnancy. And I noticed it in my wife, but I noticed it in many, many women clinically, that DAO, the diamine oxidase, which is going to help you to break down histamine, it massively increases during pregnancy. Apparently, the placenta will express and secrete DAO. So pregnant women have massively, massively increased levels of DAO. And there's a couple papers on it suggesting that the DAO level in the blood during pregnancy they're suggesting it has a protective mechanism against adverse histamine levels, because the histamine is a vasodilator. It can cause uterine contractions. It can lead to premature labor, excess histamine. And so DAO in the placenta will break down the histamine to prevent its accumulation and maintain a healthy pregnancy. Low levels of DAO in the placenta may contribute to preeclampsia. And so that's high blood pressure and potentially liver and kidney issues. The baby could be affected too. So it says here, like, lowered diamine oxidase values in a maternal blood in early pregnancy might be an indication of early onset preeclampsia. So that's pretty cool to think that the human body is helping us and protecting us. This shows that like excess histamine is a problem, especially for a growing baby, let alone for an adult.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's an impact with.
Go ahead, man.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's an impact with just the HCG, and everything that's happening, the human chorionic gonadotropin being produced by the placenta, the increase in the progesterone probably is also driving progesterone driving up histamine levels in pregnancy as well.
Yep. And this, there's some role of cancer, allergies, and autoimmune disorders and diseases that are related to dysfunction of DAO. So DAO is a hugely important thing, and you can supplement DAO. You and I have sold lots of DAO to our clients to help. You can take supplemental DAO. Now, you should be making it on your own, but I know there are some genetic issues where you might not be making as much DAO, and there's probably a dysbiosis piece, right? What have you seen on that? Like DAO reduction due to dysbiosis? I mean, there's got to be something there.
So if you have estrogen dominance, right, you're definitely going to have a higher level of histamine, because estrogen is going to, you kind of release more histamine when you're more estrogen dominant. There's definitely studies on that. So there's that component. So if you're a female, you're more estrogen dominant, you have a lot of PMS, which again, progesterone is actually a natural antihistamine. So if you look at progesterone and antihistamine, there's definitely studies on that. So you will find that kind of connection potentially. So if you look at this study right here, for instance, progesterone inhibits mast cell secretion. So progesterone definitely can mitigate histamine. We know that, all right? We know that for sure. I'll pull the study up here briefly. We have that here. Results show that mast cell secretion may be regulated by progesterone. It may explain reduced symptoms of certain inflammatory conditions during pregnancy, right? Because progesterone's higher in pregnancy. So that's going to help with inflammation. And we know that estrogen can stimulate more histamine, right? And then now if we go here, intestinal dysbiosis in patients with histamine intolerance. People forget. When we look at histamine, right, I kind of drive the big three histamine vectors are going to be histamine from your food. And I don't look at histamine like, oh, you're eating bacon. Oh, you're eating aged meats or cheeses. I look at histamine and inflammation are connected. So the more inflammation you have, the more histamine you're going to have. Why? Because histamine is a vasodilator. When you get inflamed, what? Do things get puffy and swell? Yeah. What is that neurotransmitter helping to facilitate that? Histamine is going to be part of that kind of collateral damage. So inflammation and histamine. But let's say your diet's now anti-inflammatory. Now, okay, we check off the inflammation part. Now we go to part two. And now we may lower histamine from some of the aged meats or some of the higher citrus foods. So then we go to part two, which is we look at histamine in the foods. But it's first inflammation down, nutrient density up. Then it's going to be histamine in the diet. And then the next thing is, do we have environmental molds or toxins coming in the house? It could be outside molds and pollens and decaying debris from flowers and leaves falling off. It could be from high humidity and mold in your home, right? Then the third check we put off is going to be the gut bacteria. So we know, for instance, right here, different bacteria, Faecalibacterium, Clostridium, Enterococcus. So if you look here, a greater abundance of histaminogenic bacteria would favor accumulation of high levels of histamine in the gut and its subsequent absorption in plasma and the appearance of adverse effects and even individuals without DAO. So essentially, this is going to accumulate more histamine. You're going to have more accumulation of histamine. Also, you're going to even have less DAO when you have dysbiosis. So you get more histamine from dysbiotic bacteria, and then you also have less DAO to metabolize it when there's a lot of dysbiotic bacteria too.
Yeah, it's also later in that paper, it's talking about DAO inhibitor drugs. Now, scroll down a bit because I've got that same paper here and it shows that little. There's a little chart about the frequency and the percentage of patients suffering the symptoms. This is helpful because we jumped right into the geeky stuff and we didn't cover the symptoms. Yeah, there we go. Well, no, that's not the one. There's one more. It's table two.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Let's run through that real quick. Just because people are listening and this got geeky, people need to hear, like, what does this actually feel like? How is this manifesting? How do I know I have this problem? You would have these symptoms. So let's go into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can see it on screen, right? Bloating 75% of the time, flatulence a third, abdominal pain 25, diarrhea 25, heartburn 25, constipation, nausea 17. So it just shows you one of the biggest driving factors of high histamine is going to be gut. So you can see the implications with gut and these high histamine symptoms.
Amazing. Look at the neurologic system there, 75% headache, 8% dizziness.
Yep. Exactly.
Muscular pain, fatigue, insomnia, because you mentioned in the beginning here, histamine is a neurotransmitter as well. So if you have excess, that could be overstimulating to you to where you now have insomnia. So that's a piece of the puzzle too.
100%. And again, with gut microbiota, it's going to lower DAO. So it's going to decrease your capacity to metabolize it, but it's also increasing the amount in the gut. So you have more influx and then you have decreased ability to remove it, right? So then it kind of hits us kind of from all sides of the fence.
What a cool paper too. This is just neat because this is something you and I've talked about for years, but I mean, this is a University of Barcelona. So thank you so much for that because this is a 2022 paper. So pretty new to see it like in the literature, even though you and I clinically have been assuming this is happening for a long time.
Yeah, no, I think it's powerful. I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, when we look at different symptoms here, right, we talk about the medication. Let's hit the medications. So a lot of times you're going to see H1 or H2 blockers are going to be the big histamine medications that we see, right? They're blocking the receptor sites a lot of times. So your H1 receptor sites, these are going to be Benadryl and Claritin. They're going to block those. Your H2, I think are going to be like your Pepcid AC, those kind of things. Those are going to be your big ones. So your H1 and H2. Now, the problem with some of these medications is they can definitely create side effects, brain fog, fatigue. So we really, really, really have to be careful of those medications actually creating more problems out of the gates.
Well, I got a little more wrench in the gears here for people that are taking pharmaceuticals. This is a small tangent, but I think it's an important one. This is from the International Society of DAO Deficiency. Maybe you could bring this up for people because this is looking at so DAO, just to be clear, DAO helps you to break down and basically eat up histamine. And there's this big list here of pharmaceuticals that is causing a reduction in DAO. Therefore, if you're on these, you're going to have more risk of allergies and histamine problems because these drugs are turning down your ability to make DAO. That includes antidepressants and analgesics. That includes, man, there's 20, 30 drugs on here.
Is it possible for you to do a little zoom in on that, like control plus and just kind of zoom in a little more?
Let's see if we could just make the whole image bigger there.
There you go, right there. There you go. Yeah, medications are going to play a big, big factor. So the big medications on the histamine side, your H1, your Allegra, your Zyrtec, your Benadryl, then your H2 are going to be your Tagamet, that's your Pepcid-HC or your Zantac, right? And then we talked about the medications briefly. So medications are going to add to the histamine bucket, right? Steroids are one, could make you a lot more histamine sensitive. These are going to be big ones out of the gates. So your steroids are going to be one. Acid blockers could potentially even do more as well. What else, Evan? Anything else you want to highlight there on the medication side?
Yeah, there's antibiotics look like a problem. Prokinetics look like a problem. Muscle relaxers look like a problem.
Antidepressants, so your Cymbalta, your Effexor, your Zoloft, your Prozac, some of your blood pressure or your beta blockers could be a big one. Metoprolol, some of your immune modulators, so whether it's like Enbrel or Plaquenil or Humira, right? These are like your biologic medications.
It's crazy too, because I mean, you and I see this all the time. One of the questions we ask everyone is like, what are your current supplements and or medications? And it's always interesting to look at the melting pot, if you will, of pharmaceuticals that adds up, right? So they have depression, so they get put on the antidepressant, which then causes more histamine problems. So then they're on an antihistamine drug. Then they have blood pressure problems, so now they're on a blood pressure medication. And you see how quickly someone could end up with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different pharmaceuticals all trying to chase these symptoms, when all these drugs are actually worsening the DAO issue, worsening the histamine problem. If they're on acid blockers, they have more dysbiosis, leading to more bacterial overgrowth, leading to more DAO inhibition. So this thing is like a runaway train.
100%. And so we have, just to be clear, when we have lots of dysbiotic bacteria, you're going to potentially have lower DAO, but then you're also going to have the bugs that are actually producing it. So it hits us on both sides. And then for women, they're going to be a little more prone because if they're estrogen dominant because of plastics, because of pesticides, Roundup, glyphosate, different chemicals in the environment or non-organic meat, and then you add in environmental histamines coming in from pollens and danders and trees and such, then it's going to add more to that histamine bucket. So I kind of call it the inflammation or histamine bucket, and everything gets dumped in that bucket. Environmental allergens, gut bacteria, inflammation foods, a lack of DAO, estrogen dominance. And so some people come into this world with bigger buckets. They have just greater capacity to handle it and manage it. And some come in with smaller buckets. And especially if you have lower progesterone, that's automatically going to make you more susceptible because progesterone is so important to helping to deal with the histamine as well. And so if we have estrogen dominance, higher estrogen or progesterone, that ratio is off and progesterone's low, that could throw you off and make you more histamine sensitive too.
I would say that a low histamine diet can be helpful. I do have a free low histamine guide that I wrote up that kind of goes through everything in terms of fruits and meats and what's low and what's high. I do find low histamine diet to be helpful for a lot of people. But as you mentioned, that's just one branch of the issue of allergies. Yes. And histamine intolerance. And you could have a perfectly low histamine diet and still suffer with histamine problems if you're on DAO blockers. I mean, alcohol, that's a bad one as well. Yep. So, I mean, I see these women with allergy and histamine problems and they have a glass or two at night of wine. And I'm like, you got to get that out for now until we fix this.
Yeah. I mean, you see it, I think in the Asian population, they call it the Asian glow because there's the acetaldehyde, the enzyme to break down acetaldehyde genetically is less in Asians. And Asians instinctively will go and take Pepcid-AC after they have alcohol because it'll help with that Asian glow, that flushing that's happening because of the histamine and the alcohol. And so you can see certain genetics may be prone to that. And you can run a 23andMe test and you can see if you have any of these DAO enzyme polymorphisms. So you can see that if it's a genetic issue. You know, you can just look at your ancestry and know, well, how do I feel with medications? Or how do I feel with let's say alcohol. Do I look flushed and red afterwards? Also, it could be the gluten in your beer if you're doing it, right? Could be something like that. Could be the tannins in the red wine or the gluten cross reactivity in the red wine. So it could be all those different things as well. So what are some other things that exacerbate and alter your ability to have good DAO enzyme activity? I would say gut permeability is a big one, partly because what drives gut permeability issues? Bad foods, gluten, processed grains and dairy, excess sugar, junky fats, poor digestion, low stomach acid, low enzymes, environmental molds from the outside can easily drive leaky gut. Let's say we're getting exposed to glyphosate and pesticides. I mentioned previously last week, glyphosate was first patented as an antibiotic. And so if you're getting exposed to antibiotics, that's wiping out your gut microbiome. That's lessening your beneficial bacteria, typically skewing a lot of the dysbiotic bacteria in the article that we talked about here that could be causing more histamine issues. Certain nutrients are going to be very important, like B6, vitally important, copper, vitamin C, certain amino acids. These are all going to be very important to be able to make DAO and to be able to degrade histamine. So we have that as a possibility. And then if you're on a lot of medications, if you're on an antidepressant, you're on a steroid, you have chronic gut issues, maybe you're on an immunosuppressant because you have Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, or you're on some IBS medication, right? Or you're on histamines already, antihistamines, Benadryl. So these could all kind of be things that are throwing a monkey wrench in your physiology that's causing some of these environmental histamines to be a problem.
Yep. And just to say the chemical piece in a different way, what we're seeing here is that the goal is to try and get as much organic food as you possibly can, because if you're getting non-organic food, the chemicals from that, look at one paper on strawberries, up to 20 different chemical, pesticide, herbicide, antifungals, all sorts of drugs are in those drug compounds, pharmaceutical compounds. I mean, you don't ever know what you're going to get if it's not organic. There are still pesticides in organic produce, but it's far, far, far less. And usually they're different and less toxic. So what we're saying is go organic as much as you can, because the non-organic foods damage the good bacteria. When the good guys get low, the bad guys get high. The bad guys make more histamine, more dysbiosis, more intestinal permeability, more leaky gut, more allergies. So literally, sounds exaggeratory, but you go into that birthday party and eating the cupcakes and the cake and the regular strawberries and all of that could be setting you up for more issues.
Yeah. And it was just amazing to see most of the symptoms with high histamine. I mean, they were mostly gastrointestinal. I just couldn't believe that. That was amazing.
It is cool to see, because most people think of just like that, the asthma, what was there, rhinitis. They think just the nasal stuff. They think stuffy nose.
Most people just think here. They just think there. They just think that.
But look at that. It's small. It's only 17% asthma, 8% rhinitis, 8% shortness of breath versus bloating is 75%.
Yep. Exactly. And look at DAO levels were lower in 10 out of 12 patients with histamine issues. But then the question is why? Now, this is pretty cool where they look at actual dysbiotic bacteria in the gut. So you can see the different microbes. You can see the different bacteria here. So you could see your control and then you could see your high histamines and you could see what's different. So for instance, you can see this proteobacteria here in orange is a little bit higher. You can see this one in green, this Verrucronobia right here is a little bit higher. So you can kind of look at some of the controls and you can see some of the higher histamines.
And if you were to look at this on paper, if you all are watching the video and you're seeing the video of this, you might look at these graphs and the bars and go, oh, wow, like there's not a huge difference between the healthy group and the histamine intolerance group. And you would be correct. Like in some cases, there's
not
maybe
a huge difference.
Maybe 10% shift. And so this is why you have to get the functional data, because if you just go and take like your histamine blocker or even your histamine supplement, which you and I have really, really good histamine formulas, that's not fixing this. So it takes a laser-focused person, a clinician, to help you to investigate the microbes. And then we're trying to positively shift the microbes, reducing the dysbiotic bacteria, increasing the beneficial bacteria to help get this thing under control.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference, if you look here, when you go look at some of the controls here, so you have the control and then you have the higher histamine group. When you look at it, the big difference is you're going to see the higher histamine group had lower Prevotella, Ruminococcus, Faecalibacterium prausnitzii. And they also had significantly higher, you're going to see more staph, more proteus, Enterobacter, Clostridium, and Enterococcus. So those are the big differences. And it's not by much when you look at it. It's really not by much. So very interesting to see that.
And we measure these bacteria using at-home stool testing. You can get this done anywhere in the world. It's not difficult to do. We do it all day, every day. It's really fun to see and to help people to understand, hey, this is why you have allergies. It's not because you live in Texas and you have cedar fever. It's because you have a gut that's already messed up. You can't handle the cedar.
100%. 100%. And again, if you have all this DAO, right? Which breaks down histamine in the gut, and that histamine does not get broken down. And then you have gut permeability. Where does the histamine go? Right? It has to go into your bloodstream, right? This is why we may measure a serum histamine, or we may measure something called, it's an HNMT enzyme. I'll go over that in a second, but we can run like a urine test to look at that. Again, a lot of times for me, I'll look at the symptoms and we'll just make some of these changes and we'll see if we see improvement, but we can run a histamine N-methyltransferase, histamine N-methyltransferase. We can see that. We can run a urine test for that. We can run a serum histamine as well, plasma histamine. So there's some there's some tests we can do. Again, we may just go look at allergens in the home. We may run a mold plate test. Do we have Cladosporium, Microsporium, Candida off the charts? These are all typical environmental molds. If they're really high, even though they don't produce mycotoxins, they could potentially be an issue, right? Or if we see mycotoxin ones, we see Aspergillus, we see Penicillium, we see Stachybotrys, then that could definitely be a big problem. So you got to look at everything holistically. Now, so let's say we have an environmental mold issue problem. You know, what do we do about it? But I'll let Evan just kind of comment on that first.
Well, I had one more fun thing to throw into this here too. Just another piece of literature that kind of got me excited. I mean, you know my story. I mean, you and I have been talking functional medicine stuff for a decade about Giardia. Yep. I had Giardia a decade ago. I was a mess. I had all sorts of anxiety problems and mood issues from it. Well, it turns out there's a paper here. This was a mice study, but in this mouse study where they gave the mice Giardia, they had three times more histamine than the uninfected mice.
Wow.
So they talk about this mast cell response. They show some, you know, some geeky pictures about mast cell responses here and non-infected mice versus infected mice. And this paper was called Mast Cell Dependent Control of Giardia Infection in Mice. That's 20-year-old paper. There's probably something newer, but that's what I found for the moment. And it makes sense. So we covered so much about bacteria, but you and I rarely find bacteria by themselves. A lot of time we're going to see parasites and other infections just like this from contaminated food, soil, water, going swimming in a river, which is fun, but you potentially get something like Giardia, which is then going to increase that mast cell activation and histamine response.
Bingo. No, I love that. That makes sense. Also, I wanted to hit one thing. So what are some other palliative things that we can do? Well, here's some pretty cool stuff here. So photobiomodulation therapy. So there's some interesting studies here using different low-level laser therapies on allergic rhinitis, for instance, where you can take either a low-level red light, usually in the mid-600 nanometer, which is red light, or you can do infrared, which is in the mid-900s, and you can easily do that. This is a low level. This is only 5 milliwatts. I currently have a laser on the red light side that's 1,000 milliwatts and 1,300 milliwatts on the infrared side, but you can use this frequency. And they were used for what? They were used three times a day at intervals for at least 5. Okay, they use 5 hours. But this is low level. But if you get a higher level one, you could do it for 10 minutes, right? Because the one that I have, for instance, on the red light, it's 1,000 milliwatts. So that's what? That's 200 times less. So, I mean, 5 hours is what is five times. So 300 minutes, right? And then you divide it by 200. So yeah, you're looking at like probably 3 to 5 minutes. You can get the same benefit.
Now, is that intranasal? Does it say anything? Like, are they putting the red light up the nose or is that just on the face? I wonder where. Are they just blasting the head with it?
Yeah, I mean, typically what I would do is I would hit it right here. So I would do, you know, your frontal sinus or your sinus cavity right here, your maxillary sinus, your frontal here, maxillary here, and then your central sinus cavity right in the middle. So I would do laser here, minute or two. And then if you feel the congestion's all just local, then you can hit it right there for 3 to 5 minutes. And I'll tell patients to do a minute or two on each frequency, on red light, which would be the mid-600 nanometer, and then on the infrared in the upper 900 range. That's very powerful. But again, the key thing I tell patients out of the gate, the first thing you got to do is you got to flush it out first. So if you have inflammation up there, from particulate staying up there, you go outside. The problem is you bring the outside inside, and now it's a moist, dark environment, which breeds what? Now it's like a Petri dish. It's like an agar Petri dish. Now you're growing it, right? You're harboring it. You're growing it. So you got to flush it out, and you got to flush it out with some biofilm busters. So we add a little iodine or a little silver, or we do some X-Lear rescue or regular X-Lear before and after to flush it out. We'll do that good saline, Neomed X-Lear or Neomed saline, good RO or distilled water, flush that puppy out 2 to 3 seconds up each nose. If you're listening, go to justinhealth.com/sinus-flush, sinus-flush. That's a great video I made on how I actually do this. So that's a good strategy out of the gate. Yeah, you could easily do intranasal if it's a clip. The one I have is a wand that's this big, and I just aim it right here, and right here. Forehead, under the eyes, central nose cavity.
It's neat.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. A lot of other good modalities out there, so I like it. Any other comments on that, Evan? Anything else you think we could be doing?
We love using the herbal antihistamines, the plant-based ones, like Perea Leaf, there's Guiducci, there's NAC. We have combo products. We'll link those below in this video or wherever you're listening or watching. We'll try to have some show notes for you where you can access those. But we have these basically natural herbal antihistamines, which don't appear to have the same downregulation effect on DAO. So these are things that we can use while we're fixing the root causes. We're getting the dysbiosis addressed. We're helping to improve DAO levels. We're helping to improve the environment. So obviously, if you're getting exposed in the environment, you know, something like burning some of the mold candles that I have, the Oasis candles, those are really good too, to knock down what's happening in your breathable air. We have professional air filters that we can use. We can help you get a small discount on air filters as well. Those are a lot of the tools that we use, and this is a fixable problem. This is why you hear people say things like, I never had allergies until I hit age 30, I hit age 40, I had my last child, et cetera. There's often a triggering event which has some level of hormonal dysfunction or stress associated with it. For example, when the baby's not in you anymore, you don't have that placenta making all that DAO. It's very common for women to say after they had their babies, hey, my allergies flared up after I had my baby. Well, you lost that placenta that was making so much DAO. You were almost like on a natural antihistamine through your pregnancy. Your placenta was your antihistamine.
Bingo. Exactly. And then also your progesterone is going a lot higher during pregnancy, right? It's sustaining, because like a woman usually in that day 20 or so of her cycles where she peaks out on progesterone, 15 to 20 is common, but when you're pregnant, now it's 25, 30, and it's staying there every day. So for sure. So real quick, sinus cavity picture. Again, we're going to have our maxillary under the eyes. Ethmoid, that's going to be right in the nasal cavity in the front. Then we have our frontal sinus right there. And then we're going to have our sphenoid sinus, which is going to be like up in the back here, but it's up in the back. And again, once these cavities get full, everything can go deeper back. So that's why a good flush is going to really get this frontal thing situated. Because if you're blowing your nose, you're only really getting this ethmoid sinus improved. You're not really getting maxillary per se. You're not really getting the frontal. So you really want to do a good sinus flush to get these things 100% cleared out.
Yeah, if people want to reach out, if you all need help, if you want to dive deeper and look at your gut, figure out what's happening on the dysbiosis side, the candida side, the mold side, we're happy to help you with not only testing of your body, but we can help you with the proper testing for the environment as well. This doesn't have to break the bank. We could typically test an entire home, office, studio, wherever for a couple $100 or less. So this is not some crazy thing. Sometimes you'll see comments like, if only I were rich, I could do this. You don't have to be rich to do this. You can do some of these labs on your home and your environment for less than the cost of a grocery trip. So this is an attainable thing for people. And when you get the data, we can be laser focused. So that would be my advice.
100%. Now, big thing out of the gate, I see a lot of people go and jump on sinus surgery out of the gate because they think, oh, it's a deviated septum or there's an actual obstruction of the bone. Here's the deal on that. A lot of times it's not the case. A lot of times the tissue in the nose is what's inflamed, and it's the tissue in the nose that's attached to the bone that's constricting, and that's why the flow is down. So here's my test. Is it a bone constriction? Well, go do some Afrin. That's going to open up that sinus cavity, open up the tissue. Do you still have an obstruction? Can you do a sinus flush and it's seriously impaired one side versus the other? Do you feel that? Do you see that difference? So you do it, right? You do a sinus flush. Maybe you do some Afrin, which is an oxymetallozine that opens everything up. Do you still have that obstruction when you go to flush that water up there? If you do, then maybe there is a bony septal defect issue that needs to be addressed surgically. If not, and you can have good flow, then it's probably not the bone. It's probably the tissue inside of that area that's inflamed. So you have to differentiate, is the bone the structural issue, or is it the inflammation causing the tissues to constrict around it? So I tell patients, you know, you want to really get that, the root cause dialed in. And if you see it get worse certain times of the year, it's not a sinus issue per se, bone-wise. It's a tissue inflammation histamine problem.
Yep. Well said. Well, I got to run. So you ready to wrap this thing up?
Yeah. Just one last thing. Air filtration, key, get the allergens out. If you're bringing allergens in, we need a good quality air filters. We're going to put our links down below for the air filters that we recommend, as well as the allergy testing. And you may even need some mold urine testing to see if there's a mold load in your body and you're having a hard time detoxifying previous years of mold. That could be an issue. And then we'll put our favorite allergy antihistamine degranulators, you know, stinging nettle, quercetin, bromelain, you know, kidney tissue with DAO. We have some favorite ones that we formulated. We'll put them in the show notes down below so you guys can access that, as well as some of the lab testing that we like too. Anything else, Evan?
Yeah, this could be life-changing stuff. So I know we get geeky here and that's what we love doing. But just to be clear, if you've suffered for 10, 20, 30 years, if it's not getting any better, there's issues beneath the hood here. So let us pop open the hood. Let us take a look at you. We'll be happy to help. If you need to reach out clinically, you can get a hold of Dr. J. That's at justinhealth.com or me, Evan Brand at evanbrand.com. Put that URL in. You'll be able to access our calendars. You can book a call with us. We'll be happy to run these labs anywhere in the world. We have international distributors. If you're listening from anywhere around the world, we'll get the data and then we'll start to piece this thing together.
I love it. Yep, you got the links, and we'll put any products that we like and recommend, air filter-wise, sinus testing-wise, my sinus flush video, we'll put them all in the description so you guys can access it later.
All right.
Awesome, Evan. All right, great chatting with you, man. You guys have an awesome day, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thanks so much for tuning in. Histamine and mast cell support, we'll have it linked in the show notes. It's a game changer. I think you'll love it. It can absolutely transform your life, transform your health, especially if you have a histamine mast cell type problem. It can significantly turn down the chaos in your gut with the flushing, the anxiety, the heart palpitations, all those histamine intolerant symptoms. I've been through it. It's difficult. This can help. So check it out. If you want to dive deeper, you want to learn functional medicine, you want to implement some of this stuff on your own, betterbellycourse.com. We've just discounted the enrollment. That course has over 1,000 students. I just emailed all of you also existing students that are listening. We're going to be creating a more regular meeting. We're going to figure out the frequency and exactly where and how we're going to host it. But I want to get as many students as I can together live where we can answer questions, look at labs together, look at protocol, and continue the education so we can transform the lives of ourselves, our clients, our parents, our kids, and make the world a better place. If you need one-on-one functional medicine care, my website, evanbrand.com, has all the details. Reach out. Let's see if we can help. Take care for now. Bye-bye.